A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to A Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network, and you can find us on any one of your favorite platforms, your streaming platforms, along with Rumble TV. Welcome, Sam. How are you today?
Doing great, John. Great to see you. Happy Monday.
Happy beginning of Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting that we are doing our podcast on May 1st to really kick off Mental Health Awareness Month, to make sure that everybody takes this month and just takes an active role in their mental well-being. Sam, me and you had the conversation just before, and I'll be very transparent, and I usually am. And
no, you're not.
Huh?
No, you're never transparent. Who are you kidding?
Are you kidding me? I am an open book.
That's your facade, man. Kidding.
No, I am an open book. I kind of bring things out. For the reason I bring these out is to help other people go, you know what, you're not alone. And between me and Sam, we do battle. We battle. You know, we may host this podcast, but we do have our internal battles. We do work on things each and every day to make ourselves a little better. But sometimes we start to creep towards that rabbit hole, and we don't want to go back in it. And I'll just be real honest with everybody today is, you know, I reached out to Sam. A couple of people have said to me that, hey, John, you've been battling for the last couple of weeks. We've seen it. You know, we've seen things happening to you. So I took that step. And today I used one of our own vetted sponsors, Forged in Valor. And I made an appointment to go get a tune-up, for the lack of a better word, you know, go get a mental health tune-up. Because it's been a long time since I've been into therapy. There's, you know, a couple of years. And we all have that fight that we fight each and every day. And it's nothing to be ashamed of to say, hey, listen, I'm gonna go talk to somebody and just vent my feelings out and get myself back on track. Because we don't want to wait for it to be too late. We don't want to fall down that rabbit hole. We have to identify when we're creeping near it, and we're going to say to ourselves, you know what, now it's time. We have to be honest with ourselves and go, let me go get this tune up. And you know what, it may take a month, it may take 6 months, but you know what, I'll be a better person for it.
Well, and you just know that me and the team and so many other people out there, we've got your back. And so, you know, it's refreshing, and it's right on the heels of, if you missed our last podcast, two podcasts ago with Dr. Betancourt from the city of Irving, you know, they're the model. We talked about, hey, use these, you got to pay attention, use these. If you see somebody struggling, if you see something's off, they're kind of out of sorts. And, you know, John and I have worked together for a long time. So I just was like, hey, are you okay? Notice the stress. He immediately knew that he had to take the next steps, but we're doing this supported, right? Because not only is this Mental Health Awareness Month kicking off May, but it's Memorial May, right? And meaning Memorial Day. Okay. And there are a lot of people where this month is just like, okay, May 1st, yeah, Memorial Day is coming up, and oh, freaking May 1st happens to be a Monday. So yay, great way to kick it off. Not, you know.
Well, let me just retouch on what you just said about, you know, sometimes we don't see it or we don't hear it. And you know what, my wife, she's been seeing it for the last couple of weeks, and she brought it up to me, and I like any other person who doesn't want to really address the situation. Kind of discarded it. My sister came up to me, told me I kind of discarded it. But you know what? When two people, three people, four people say, hey, you are not the same person you were 3 weeks ago, something is amiss. You know, now it's time as trainers who bring this forward to everybody else, we have to turn around and say, hey, you know what? We're not immune to the stresses of mental health. So we have to take those key factors into play and say, you know what? You're right. Maybe I need some help. Maybe I need some time to decompress.
Yeah. And, you know, our guest today is she's fallen into that boat where she's needed help to get out of that rabbit hole that you talk about, to build the awareness, to get well, and to move into a space where she is helping so many people. I mean, like thousands, and we'll let her drop the number, because it's boom, mind blowing how many veterans, first responders, spouses that this organization has helped. So I want to bring on our nonprofit partner with Carry the Load. We will talk about that in a little bit. But Corinna Mitchell, she is the director of Boots to Heels, which is a program that operates under Attitudes and Attire organization. Corinna,
welcome.
To see you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's an honor.
Yeah, well, let's dive right into it, because you're freaking amazing. Can you just tell everybody watching and listening about, like, how you decided that the Army was where you wanted to go and your experiences there?
Okay. So I grew up a military brat. My dad served in the Army. He did 25 years. He retired. And he's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and we retired in Dallas.
We won't hold that against him. We won't hold that against
him. Yeah, that was a necessary plug. But yeah, so here we were in Dallas, and his transition was early 90s, and it was really difficult for our family. It was really difficult for him to find a job. They were offering him $7 to $9 an hour, and it wasn't enough to support our family, though, of course, he had a retirement check. It wasn't what we were used to in the military. So I watched him struggle. And I was in the 10th grade when he retired. So I had always been in ROTC. I didn't want to do gym, so I did ROTC, but I loved it. It was something that was near and dear to my heart. And a recruiter came and talked to us, and I thought, why would I put my parents through that financially? So I'm going to join the Army. And that's why I joined.
That's amazing. I hated gym too, but it was either gym or study hall. So I went to study hall. But when you talk about financial, right, that's, mm-hmm. you know, the financial aspect is a lot different. And that could put a struggle on you. But when we are, and you said he did 20 years?
25 years
in the military or in the first responder field, you become conditioned. That becomes part of you. That becomes who you are. You know, and what it says in your title is Boots to Heels. The transition from going from one person to another is more difficult than just losing half pay. Now you feel like you're losing some of your inner soul, because you go from a military person, a person of honor, which everybody's of honor, but you know, you feel you lost that honor, that prestige of the military that you will always have forever, but you still, now that you're not wearing that uniform anymore and serving, you feel you lost that. And our military, just like our first responders, do not transition properly back into civilian life. And that's why Boots and Hills became what you are today, right?
Correct. Yes. I think a lot of times that we consider the military was our value, in when it's suddenly taken away and you don't transition properly, you lose your value. And I think that's kind of what hurts a lot of people.
Well, you did 16 years in the Army, and you are deployed really fast into I'll call it unique is an understatement, the role that you undertook being overseas. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, so I went from National Guards to active duty, and my first duty station was in Iraq. And my primary job in the military was communications, but I had also worked human resources. And I would walk back and forth by the human resources office, and I would hear them struggling with things that I knew really well. So one day I just stopped and was like, hey, if you just do this and this, it would be fine. Or I hear them struggling with reports and stuff that came really easy to me. So I just kind of started giving my input, and it worked. So next thing I know, Sergeant Major had me in human resources. So I started doing our first stat reports, which was our, we were a battalion. We had 12 companies under us, and we had to do attendance for everyone every day. And part of that was if someone was missing in action or injured in action or killed in action. And my officer in charge had went on leave, and I took over those reports. And I didn't realize the impact of those reports. So my first killed in action report was a friend. And having to write that report or those type of reports and how often they came in was really difficult, especially when you knew the person. So it had really affected me, and it became really difficult. But my husband is also, we actually met in Iraq during that deployment, and he's infantry. So I would hear his stories. I would hear him and his friends talk, though they didn't talk about specifically what happened. It was their experience was different from mine. And so I had discounted what I went through because I had wrote these stories. I had read about them. I'd seen them, and I've heard about them. So I had discounted my what I had been through because of what everyone else had been through.
Wow. That has got to be hard. We talk about vicarious trauma all the time. Folks, we've got to take our first break. We will be right back to continue this really important conversation with Karina Mitchell. She is the director of Boots to Heels program. We'll be right back.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely, America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely, America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, with Karina Mitchell, the director of Boots to Heels. You know, before we took our first break, you were hitting on a very important subject about writing reports. And nobody thinks that post-traumatic stress could happen from just writing a report. But you were writing reports on people that were killed in action, missing in action, or injured. We talk about the visual sensations. We talk about 9/11 dispatches. We talk about the audio that you hear. We never really look at the aspect of what it does to the brain writing those reports each and every day. You hit on a key component on a lot of probably a lot of people out there, from MEs who are writing ME reports to nurses and doctors that are writing these trauma reports. Those have such, because we remember those stay in our brain. So I'm so happy you shared this, because this is something that I personally would have never even thought of until you brought this to us. And I don't think a lot of people have looked at it as you're just writing a report. But no, the vicarious trauma from the mental notes that I'm taking have a long-lasting effect. You just opened up a big door to save many more lives.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And let me ask you, with these reports, did you have to go and interview people that were around the soldier, maybe if the soldier was killed, to be able to add what you needed to do, those details in the report? Because it's in those details where we form the pictures, right?
Right.
Of what it should be. Is that what you had to do?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was extremely important to me. It was hard. I couldn't imagine being in a family's shoes that was going to get the news that we were about to deliver. So it was extremely important to me that every question they had was answered and answered properly. So yes, we did that. I even had an experience once where we received a Red Cross message. One of our soldiers' son had passed away, and it was unfortunately the mom's fault. And the sergeant, they went and got him, and he was in the sergeant major's office, and it's a scream, a cry that I'll never forget. And how that affected it was a lot. So we know that they're going out, but we don't hear or see what happens. But to experience that soldier learning that he had lost his son and it was his wife's fault, and listen to him call home and just scream and cry, it was really hard.
That's brutal. I mean, I can't imagine being placed in that. You know, we talk about 9/11 telecommunication officers who never really get the closure that or afforded that closure of a traumatic event. You have to, in essence, go by what you're being told. And now you have to picture what that is. And you just said, like, one of your first reports was somebody you knew. That's got to be heartbreaking.
Yes.
When you did that, was there anything that the military offered, or how did you get through that? What were some of the steps, or did you just like brush it off as this is my military job? I'm dug into my boots. I got to go.
It was important that I do my job and that I did it properly. So it would take years for me to even realize, and therapy before I even realized what was wrong with me and why.
Well, that's important that you did get help, because you did realize that something was wrong, and thank you for being you and doing the reports the way you knew you had to do it, to honor the memory of our fallen, of our injured, to be able to answer the questions for the family. At what point did you realize that things were not quite right? Was that before you transitioned out, or after, when I'll say the wheels fell off?
I transitioned out. So I didn't think that I could have children. And I had my first daughter when I was 31, and which was late in life. I'd already been in the Army for 14 years. And because my value had been the military, I had been single with no kids up until that point. When I
have biological clock was ticking,
I went right back to work, and I was still putting in an extreme amount of hours. And I realized my daughter was 2 years old, and that never called me mommy, because I was never home. I was always at work. My value was the military. And so my husband would be retiring soon, and we thought I would get out. I had seen too much, and it was starting to affect me at work, though I didn't realize it was mental health. I knew that I could no longer do the things that I was doing. So everyone's like, why didn't you retire? And it was my time to get out. So I transitioned out. I thought it would be easy, truly. But so I saw it a little bit, but it wasn't until I transitioned out and started having experiences in life that I realized something was really wrong.
What were some, like, you transitioned, right? What were some of the things that impacted you throughout that, after your transition? You're sitting home, you're watching a military show. You're sitting home, you watch the news. What were some of the triggers, or I don't know if I want to use the word triggers, but some of the things that
brought it back.
Brought it back, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's a great question, John. And Karina, we got to take our another break right now. We will be right back to answer that question. Quick break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and Karina Mitchell's Mitchell, director of Boots to Heels. We're discussing transformation and transition from a life that we hold so near and dear, be it first responder or veteran community, that we put so much heart and soul into. The transitions are usually abrupt, cut like a knife, and then you're out. And that is not a way for the mind to really be able to process anything. I remember when I left the PD, I was sitting in a wire room, and we were doing this big case with some of the mafia bosses, and my letter came down that, hey, you've been medically retired. And my boss just said, all right, shut this off. You got to go. And I had to leave the wire room. So they gave me my boxes. They said, load up your box. And I walked down the stairs of this apartment house, and I got outside. I'm like, holy crap. I'm not a cop anymore. You know? And I'm sure many of our veterans, many of our military personnel feel the same thing. They get back from serving their country, from doing all they can and putting their lives on the line. When they come back, they're like, here's this. See ya.
So what were those events for you, Karina? Because John asked a really
big question.
For me, when I thought transition would be easy. I was very naive to what transition would mean. I thought that I would do one of those resume things and get a job paying close to what I was making. And that's what I did. And I started sending my resume out and applying for jobs that I was overqualified for. Didn't get a phone call for 2 years.
Wow.
And I'm still watching my husband get up and put his uniform on and go to work. And I felt like a failure. I was in a very dark place. Like, I felt like I sat in my closet and drank for 2 years. I don't remember. So my husband came home one day and there was no dinner. The house wasn't clean. And he said he was disappointed in me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew something was wrong. Like, and I couldn't tell you what I had did. Like, it's all blank to me. So that was my trigger, was him telling me that he was disappointed in me. And I had no answers. I didn't know what to do.
So what was going on? Because how old was your daughter when all this was going on?
About 2 or 3.
Okay, so was she in daycare or was she home with you?
She was in daycare.
Okay, so you had all that time to ruminate and think and be alone and time to numb. Let's have another sip. Yeah. John and I totally understand that. And that, and in addition to you watching your husband put on his uniform and go to work every day, knowing that hey, that I'm supposed to be doing the same thing. Yes. 2 years has now gone by. And how did you find your way back?
So our last duty station was in New Jersey, and it was 2012, and I was watching the news and Carry the Load came on. It was their first year doing the march, and I saw Coleman. He was walking. He was the only person walking, and he was in New Jersey about to go into Philadelphia, which was only like 20 minutes from where we lived. And listening to him speak about Carry the Load, something I'd never heard of, Memorial Day, we're from Dallas. He was walking to Dallas like, oh my God, what is this? So when I looked in Coleman's eyes, I saw something that I saw in my own eyes, but darker.
Wow. Okay.
And I think I honestly feel like that, because I got in my car and tried to go find him, and I couldn't. But I honestly think that that carried me through into I was able to get the help that I needed. So after that, my husband would retire. He was retiring when during Carry the Load. He officially retired. Carry the Load was May. Saw him on the news in May. So my husband retired September 11th. And we relocated back to Dallas. And my husband retired. He had a job already, a civilian job. And while he was retiring, he got offered a military contracting job that was going to send him to Afghanistan for 18 months. Here we are with a toddler. She's 4 now. And we had struggled getting pregnant. I had struggled with infertility. And at 35 years old, I get pregnant with our second daughter. High risk pregnancy. I'm alone. My husband's getting ready to go to Afghanistan. We're going to move back to Dallas. Move back here. My husband is gone. We met in Iraq. I understand deployment. So I never complained. Though I was struggling with these things, I didn't say anything. So one day I was combing my daughter's hair, and she kind of jerked away from me like it hurt, and I hit her. But I hit her like an adult. And I was wrong. And I've always been one to, if I'm wrong, I'm gonna admit it. I'm gonna apologize for it. So I went and apologized to her, and she had these big eyes and they had tears in them. And I told her that mommy should have never done that to you, and I'm sorry. And she looks at me and she says, "It's okay, mommy, I can handle it." And in that moment is when I knew that something was really wrong and that I needed help.
So
anger is a huge ask. I'm sorry, Sam. Anger is a huge thing on that.
Yeah. So sometimes we need to, you know, we can hear it from our friends. We can hear it from other adults. We can hear it from supervisors. We can hear it from our spouses. But when it's from our kids, that's like, I just think that's like a 2x4 to the head. You know, that is a huge wake up call, because we all know logically as adults, how we are is how our children, you know, get formed. Right. So if we've got this baggage, if we've got a mental health issue to work through, my gosh, what are they seeing? Right. And we've had guests on the show that talk about J.P. McMichael wrote a book about not playing with his son, pulling away because of his post-traumatic stress, and his son always saying, "Daddy, why won't you play with me?" So did you, I'm curious, and I'm sure the listeners and people watching the show, did you go through the VA or did you reach out kind of into the private sector for help?
I didn't either. After that experience, I knew something was wrong, yet I had not identified it. I came to the conclusion that my family would be better off without me. And I came up with a plan to end my life. So I wanted to graduate college first. So I went to school. I was taking 21, 22 hours, as many as they would allow me, and graduated in a year. And I was about 6 days from ending my life when I was introduced to Boots to Hills. And that's when my healing journey began.
And how did that happen?
They have the Boots to Hills program, and she told me about it. So initially I said, no, oh no, it sounds great, but I didn't need it. Cause in my head, I didn't plan on being there. I had a huge graduation party, and that was really my goodbye to everyone. And at that graduation party, Boots to Hills stayed in my mind. And I feel like God intervened and told me to go to that workshop. So I went. I was training for half a marathon at the time. I had fell and broke my ankle the day of graduation. Oh, no. So I'm on crutches. I'm in a lot of pain. And I still went to Boots to Hills. And another woman veteran, she got up and shared her story. And her story was similar to mine. The things that she had felt, she really went into detail. And I thought, that's all the stuff that I feel. So what happened is I realized that I wasn't alone, that the stuff that I was going through, I'm not alone. And there's other people going through it. And I don't have to die to get the help, to be the mom, because I had convinced myself my family would be better off without me. And it was in that moment that I got the help. And through the resources at Attitudes and Attire, I started going to the VA. I started volunteering at EQuest, you know, their horse therapy park. And so I didn't do the therapy there, but I volunteered there for 6 months. And that was extremely therapeutic for me. And through therapy, that's how we were able to pinpoint what was going on with me.
Now, you know, John and I relate so much to your story about pushing it down, pushing it down, pushing it down. Nope, not going to ask for help because, you know, underneath our uniforms, we have that S and we're trained to handle it, right? And yes. Then you get, nope, better off without me. So totally get it. You had therapy through a horse. John as well have a aha moment with a horse. And then when we come back from our next break, I want to lead in with you're building a stable platform now because you know that you're needed here mm-hmm. with your husband, with your kids. So what was the first step that you did to say, like, I'm not going to think about suicide again? We'll be right back to answer that, folks.
Awesome.
Stay tuned.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and Healing Our Heroes One Step at a Time with Karina Mitchell, the director of Boots to Heels, making that transition from veteran to civilian life. We left on a question that Sam wanted to bring up, which is probably very vital to this conversation. So, Sam, please continue.
Yeah, what were the first steps when you realized you needed to be here, that people needed you?
So it was a couple of things. First, what Boots to Heels at Attitudes and Attire taught, we focus on building boundaries, self-esteem, self-care, self-compassion. And that was something that I thought I had, but taking the workshop, I realized quickly that it needed a lot of fine-tuning. So in the class, they asked what were our boundaries, and I had none. And
interesting.
Building those boundaries and that self-compassion for myself helped me. But what really was beneficial to me was volunteering. I volunteered with The Mission Continues, EQuest, and Attitudes and Attire as much as they would have me. That's how I ended up doing the six-month internship at EQuest. But my husband, at this point, he still doesn't know what was going on. Though he knows I've been diagnosed with PTSD, he didn't know my story. And he was like, you graduated. I need you to get a job. And I just kept saying, no, I wasn't ready. I'm sorry. I know you need me to, but where I'm at is where I was meant to be.
Right.
So I continued working at EQuest with Jeff Hensley, and the position opened up at Attitudes and Attire Boots to Heels program. And Jeff was like, Karina, Lynn Berman, their executive director, reached out and she asked about you and she's been hearing about you and she wants you to apply. And I think it'll be perfect for you. And he said it to me and I was like, oh no, I'm not qualified to do that. I am not qualified to help people the way I was helped. So my initial answer was no, but that's how I started healing.
And they are very persistent.
It's funny you bring up the Mission Continues, because I met Yvette Jett.
Yes.
I don't know if you know her.
Yes.
Through Mission Continues. And a wonderful organization. It's in the title. You know, your mission continues. It's who you are. It's who you were born to be. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because each one of us has that mission to continue. Yes. I just love the title of that as well.
Yeah, that's how I met Yvette, doing a combined program with Travis Mannion way back when. So yeah. We've all been in the park. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In Rivershawn. So I put up for those of you that are listening, the website is attitudesandattire.org. And you can click on the programs. You'll see Boots to Heels, which is what Karina is. She is now the director. So after Jeff mentioned it again, and Lynn was like, no, you need to be the director, because we continue to heal as we share our stories. And as you experience, like John and I have experienced going through different programs, we're not alone in our struggles, and our stories can actually help save somebody's life. You never know how your story, as Jeff, our partner, says, will unlock somebody else's prison and allow them to open up, to be connected. So when did you say yes? After how many times?
Well, Jeff and Lynn are both very persistent. So they talked me into just attending a workshop and sit in on it. And when I sat in on it and I listened to the women and I kind of offered my input, I knew I was hooked. And it's now been 5 years that I've been program director.
It's amazing how things come full circle for a reason. Yeah. And talking about coming full circle, so I knew you from, you know, Mission Continues. Then we run into each other at Carry the Load. Then Attitudes and Attire become nonprofit partners at Carry the Load. At the same time that Travis Mannion is, and I'm working that table. It's like, okay, this is like John says, there's no coincidences. We're brought together for a reason. So the next thing I know is I'm being asked to apply for a badge of honor to be a nonprofit partner. And then boom, your picture is on the Carry the Load bus. Okay. And we're at the kickoff, not this past kickoff, the one last year. And there it is for everybody to see. You're telling your story. It is absolutely amazing. And, you know, Carry the Load brings so many people together, veterans and first responders alike. And your husband, you know, he's jumping in with both feet this year, right? Because last year it was like, you know, Karina, everybody wants to take a picture with you. She's on the bus. It's like you're instant known, because for those of you that don't know, Carry the Load, they got relays, West Coast, East Coast. So the buses, they're all over the U.S. So there's your face all over the U.S. People want to know your story. Carry the Load's showing your story in video and in print on their website. And so what did you guys decide to do this year?
This year we're fundraising and we're spreading the word. But what's amazing is my husband, he was with me every step of the way last year with Carry the Load. We did a documentary, They Follow Me. It's actually a lot of work. We went to Maryland and Coleman and I met at his home and they filmed it. And I wrote him a letter and I was able to read it and explain to him how he carried me through. He gave me some real life advice and it was amazing. But my husband, who has always worked as a military contractor, he's never really been present in Dallas because he travels so much. Well, he was laid off and he was available. So he did everything with me. And I think it was difficult for him to see. Everyone's like, oh, Karina, Karina, Karina. And my husband is over there, like standing in the background because he's retired from the Army as well. And he loved it. He loved learning about Carry the Load and what they meant and what they do. And he's a background person. He doesn't want all that attention. So he said it last year, I'm going to do the full 30 days. I'm going to do the full walk for the whole 30 days. And so he stepped off from the East Coast route in West Point, New York, which we love. My brother-in-law graduated from West Point in 2002. So we hear about West Point a lot, and my husband wanted to do it. So that's where he is, 1,900 miles.
Now, he'll walk from West Point to where?
To Dallas.
He'll walk the full.
Yep. We're going to come back after our next short break, and I promise it's going to be short because you guys need to hear these details. Right back, everybody. Stay tuned.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechle, the health engineer right here on the Offbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Offbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where we will talk to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. You know what? That's my favorite OBBM commercial because it's got the coffee.
It's got coffee. Mine too. Yeah, John and I.
Oh, I want to just pour it in. But welcome back with John and Sam and Karina Mitchell with the director of Boots to Hills and Carry the Load. We're talking about Carry the Load, and your husband is doing a 30-day walk from West Point, New York to Rivershawn Park in Dallas. Man, and that's extraordinary, and we want to hear more about that.
Yeah, 1,900 miles. How many relays are there total?
There's a total of 5 relays. So this is the second one that started. The first one was the West Coast. It started in Seattle about 3 days ago, and the step off for East Coast relay starts today. And he'll walk and carry the load. Like, they put him through some intense training. He had to learn everything about carry the load, because as they walk, people come and they walk with us and they share their story. Sometimes people don't know who we are and they're going to walk with us and ask questions, or they're going to share their stories, or, oh, wow, well, this happened. I didn't even know what carry the load is, but I lost my brother-in-law in the war, and they're walking with us and we share tears, we laugh. And so the whole 1,900 miles, you're going to walk with people, you're going to meet people and educate them about the true meaning of why we celebrate Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's all about bringing back the true meaning of Memorial Day. And it's also about remembering that we still have active duty across the world. Okay, yeah. So it's about our active military, our veterans, and our first responders. Because as we started this podcast talking about the difficulty in transition, no matter what your uniform is, if you don't have a plan, right? If you don't have a program like Boots to Heels, if you don't meet somebody that can help you transition, again, how? Sharing a story, right? So the ability to connect to Karina directly, her program that she runs through Attitudes and Attire, and it's attitudesandattire.org. You'll find programs, click on Boots to Heels. It's a 2-day program, right?
Correct. And okay. We offer online and in person at the moment.
Oh, that's fantastic. So folks, in 2 days, you're just getting a snippet from Karina on the impact that this program has, a snippet of how sharing your stories, whether it's somewhere along that 1,900 mile East Coast relay or the West Coast relay or the ones taking place in the middle of our country, or I think there's a Southeast, right? Something I know there's a new one. It's about stories.
Yes.
Right.
And stories can heal, and stories can lead to healing. Karina, to date, has blew me away when I was looking at Attitudes and Attire's website. How many people have you impacted? How many spouses, veterans? How many?
I believe it's 2,400 in the past 5 years.
Wow.
2,400 in the past 5 years.
That's a blessing.
And it's important to mention the reason why I say we focus on women, we work on the inside out, is because once we give the workshop, they then are invited to come into our boutique. We have a boutique with sizes 00 through 8X extra large. They have an image consultant that dresses them, because I did not know how to dress professionally properly when I got out, and I didn't realize I was
you can't go in camo.
Yes. So you have an image consultant that dresses you in a full interview outfit, shoes, handbag, jewelry to match, and then they continue shopping for business casual. It's an amazing thing to see. You to see the women do these transitions. We worked on the inside, and now they have the outside to match. So,
you know, the one thing I want to bring up, and when you said this on your website, and just for all our viewers out there, you know, us men, we get out of the military, we'll go to the bar, we'll do our thing, right? We got our little cliques. There are over 14,000 active female military officers and soldiers out there, right? When they come back, you know, they're taking care of their children. They're taking care of their family. That transition is probably harder for them than any male out there. I really, you know, because we're just a bunch of babies. Guys are just a bunch of babies. We'll drink it off, you know. That's all we'll do. But women have the mindset of responsibility. Women have the mindset of, listen, I have to get this stuff back on track. I got a family to do this and this and this. Guys go, all right, well, I'm going to watch a game, you know, and that's all they're about. But there are 14,000 women out there that are going to be transitioning back, that you have a lot of work on your hands, and God bless you for it, because they're going to really, really need that.
And yeah, I wanted to say real quick, you mentioned needing a tune-up. And so I thought with the work that I do, it's healing for me to share my story to help other women. But last year I had got really sick and I had 3 surgeries and I gained a lot of weight. I wasn't able to run anymore. And I found myself needing a tune-up, and I had to really take a step back and take care of me. So I love hearing you say that, because that is important, that no matter what you're doing or the great work you're doing, that you still have to put yourself first and focus on you.
And that's right. One thing we lack, all of us, all 3 of us lack on, is putting ourselves first, because
they don't teach us how to do that. They teach us how to care for everybody else. Right.
Boundaries, condition. We're just conditioned to do everybody else before us. Yeah. And, you know, it takes us to go, damn, I got to put myself first.
Well, it's you can't give from an empty cup. You know, I have heard that for many, many years, going way back. And until you really you have time to sit down and digest what that means. It's like, well, I can't be a good mom if I don't have anything to give but anger. I can't be a good business partner if I don't have anything to give, because I'm so exhausted, I'm never present, right? If you can give to yourself, it is the most helpful thing you can do. The most hurtful thing that we do to ourselves is say, I don't have the time, or I'll get to it later. Mm-hmm. Because that pushing it off, again, it's that pushing it down. So yeah, we've all had tune-up time and or check-in time. Check-in time is every day, right?
It's the balance, because none of us know how to balance. Military,
you guys are regimented. I don't like that word, right?
You guys are regimented in the military. Get up at 5, eat breakfast at 6, shower.
Regimented. That's regiment. That's not balance.
We don't. I know I am so out of balance, because I just don't know where to go. You know, when I'm like, what am I doing today? You know, so much stuff. You don't know how to organize it.
Well, Corinna, we've got about 2 minutes left. I want please let everybody know how they can reach you and connect.
Yeah, so attitudesandattire.org or Corinna at attitudesandattire.org, or you can also call me at 214-746-4218 to reach me, to sign up for the program, to learn more. If you just need help, and that's so important. Like, it's not about coming through the program. It's also about providing the things, or realizing that there's some things that you need to work on, and I'm here for that.
And if you are in Dallas over the Memorial Day weekend, come out to Reverchon Park. It will be an experience. You will spend Memorial Day unlike any other Memorial Day you've ever had. Come out, be with us, meet Corinna in person, find out more about Attitudes and Attire from her right there, because you'll have staff out there, you'll have people sharing stories, and wow, you'll learn a lot of people's stories take that weekend, come and be with us. I've got the website up on the screen for everybody that's listening. Karina, can't thank you enough.
Yes.
Time always flies by on this podcast. You dropped a lot of nuggets. We appreciate you being so open and sharing your story with everybody watching and listening. And just, folks, allow her story to sink in. Everybody has their moments, right? But when you can build a foundation of successful ones, and you just heard how to do that, a little snippet of how to do it from Karina today, check out attitudesandattire.org and get more nuggets. And
get more nuggets.
Just come see her in person and talk to her over thank Memorial
you.
Day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We will be seeing you in a couple of months. A couple of weeks.
That
tells you, whew, time is flying. Couple of weeks. Yeah, and you can visit also carrytheload.org, and you'll find Karina's story on there, as well as more about attitudes and attire. Boots to Heels program. You won't be disappointed. Thank you so much, Karina. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.
Okay. Man, powerful. Wow. So powerful. Awesome. Powerful. She is such a wealth of information, but she is so approachable. And with all the, I just couldn't imagine having to, first of all, be deployed like boom, like that. Usually there's, a buildup. You're right. Deployed, and then you're writing these reports, and you're just living that day in and day out, and putting those puzzle pieces together. And
you're gonna know somebody. Huh? You're gonna know somebody in that report.
You know somebody, yeah.
That. And then it just move on to the next one. It's like, in the first responder field, it's the stack trauma. I can't imagine how many reports she had to file, how many people she had to speak to about that.
So if you guys are, thank you so much for joining us, all of you, each week that are loyal watchers and listeners. Hey, if you're liking what we're doing, just hit that subscribe button there on YouTube. And, if you haven't noticed, we're on the gram now. Jump over to Instagram. Connect with us over there. I'm trying to post pictures and do stuff that we are doing all the time, not only with the podcast, but beyond that. We were just out with the city of Irving through Heroes on the Water. We did an event in Grapevine on Lake Grapevine on Saturday. We talked a lot about Carry the Load. We got this right here, this flag. On the show every week. You want to know more about Carry the Load, go to carrytheload.org, or you can go to our website, abadgeofhonor.com. You'll see, you can scroll down on the page, click on Carry the Load, find out what it means to be a nonprofit partner. A Badge of Honor is a nonprofit partner with Carry the Load. So is Attitudes and Attire. That's why it's so awesome. We all get to be out in Reversham Park over Memorial Day together. So as nonprofit partners, we support each other because it's all about the overall mission of bringing back the true meaning of Memorial Day, leading into why we need to care for our men and women who wear the uniform, doesn't matter what uniform, and our mental health. Carry the Load takes that very seriously. And if you missed what Karina was saying, her husband's walking 1,900 miles. It's about sharing stories. That's how we heal. That's how we get the aha moments that, hey, maybe I need to do more, or maybe I need a tune-up. Just go on social media, like and subscribe to everything Carry the Load. Like and subscribe to Badge of Honor, Attitudes and Attire. You can also find out how you can jump into one of these relays going everywhere across the country. We've got PTSD 911 coming up. The movie is re-premiering here in Garland, Texas. You can go on our website. The details are not up yet. Tickets go on sale, in like two weeks.
Yeah, May 12th
or something like that. Is that next week? I don't know.
Yep.
2 weeks. We'll just say 2 weeks. Just go on the website. You'll find out. And to all of our men and women that are serving out there, thank you so much for what you do, keeping us safe here at home. for all of our veterans. Thank you for serving so that John and I can do this show. We have that freedom each week. And to all the first responders out there, we are praying for you every single day. Stay in the fight, because we're staying in the fight right behind you. John, take us home.
With May 1st upon us, take this next month to really, like we said, do a mental health tune-up, check yourself, get involved in the wellness programs that are there. You know, we start diet programs, we never finish them. Let's start. Let's make a commitment to ourselves. The month of May, we are going to be mentally healthy. I started it. I said it in the beginning of the show. I'm getting my mental tune-up this week with Forge of Valor. So find what's right for you and get mentally healthy in May.
Take care, everybody. See you next week. Good night.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBN Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBN Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.